Mizmor Dalet. So the first question we have to ask is when was this Mizmor written? Who wrote the Mizmor? When was it written? And the context of this Mizmor. So it's very interesting. There is an enormous disagreement here on the page. What is this Mizmor referring to? You have Rashi, we have the Radak, we have the Malbim, we have many, when we come, we're going to touch upon a number of Perushim as to who wrote the Mizmor. Let's see, Lamatzeach b'neginas Mizmor l'David. And notice here, this is a very unique expression, this is a very long Radak, which I won't actually read the beginning of the Radak. There are three words. Almost never do you have a situation like this where you have these three words together. Lamatzeach b'neginas Mizmor. Okay, so what is a Mizmor? Mizmor is a song. What is a neginois? Simply means a musical instrument. Okay, so again, it's relating. And what is a mizmor? Mizmor also means a song. And what is lamnatzeach? For the conductor. For the conductor, it also has something to do with music. All three words here are all words which relate to music. And this mizmor is unique. As the Radak will explain, when do you ever have a situation like this? We have three words, which all relate to song and praise. So let's see Rashi immediately. So Rashi comes to answer the question, who composed the Mizmor? When was it composed? Mizmor Zeh Yisa David She Yomeruhu B'nei Levi HaMenatzchin B'neginois Hashir Al Haduchan. So Rashi anyway says that this Mizmor, you take Rashi very, very simply, was not said regarding any particular event of his life. This is a general, a catch-all, a song that it's the sum total of David's life experience. We're not focusing on Shaul. We're not focusing on the Umay Sa'olam, we're not focusing on Avshalom in the previous Mizmor, we're not focusing on Yimot HaMashiach. Okay, all the obvious things that you would think, maybe it's a continuation of the previous Mizmor, it's about Avshalom, maybe it's a reference when David became king and all the nations of the world did not want to accept him as Melech, maybe it refers to Yimot HaMashiach. None of the above. There's nothing specific about this Mizmor. Even though Rashi will soon say, he'll mention Shaul. Even though Rashi does seem to contradict himself, because Rashi in a few lines will mention Shaul HaMelech, which has seemed to indicate that this was composed regarding David's fleeing, David being a victim of Shaul HaMelech, even though that's what it would seem to be in a few lines from now. But in the beginning of this Mizmor, the beginning of this Rashi, Rashi makes no indication that it's correct. Rashi seems to say that this is a general song that David composed. David composed this Mizmor as a general sum total of his life relating to the experience of life, his life experience. So what was a Mizmor Zayisa David, Sheyoyimru B'nei Levi, who should say this Mizmor? He composed it. That it should be said by the B'nai Levi, HaMenatzchim, who Nitzuach, it's Chanukah. On Chanukah, we have the Nitzuach of the Hashmonoyim, the Nitzachoyim, the victory of the Yavamim. This means B'neginois Hashir. So Neginois means the Negina. It's made of an orchestra, right? The Negina orchestra. Negina means to sing. So the Neginais means the melodies of the song, Al Haducha. So Rashi appears to be translating the word Neginais to mean a melody, and the word Lamnatzeach refers to the singers, a singer, not the composer. See, we very often translate the word Lamnatzeach means for the composer, for the conductor, the maestro. The conductor. That's not Rashi. Rashi here says that the word Lamatzeach is a word referring to the members of the choir. Why are they called Lamatzeach? Because we'll see this in the Radak, I believe. Because when you sing, you have a soloist, and you have those who sing harmony, and you have a duet.
Baritone, bass.
Rashi says it the next time, but
okay. Rashi himself says that when you sing, each member of the choir, sometimes one member raises his voice over the other. And they have a collection being required. So sometimes you give someone a solo or the duet, and one member of the choir raises his voice higher, and the other one sings harmony, sings lower, or sings a different pace, sings a different note. And throughout the entire melody, the entire performance, each member of the choir, sometimes one prevails, kishazeh kam, Zenoifel. One member of the choir sings louder, one sings softer. And then it's the reverse. It's all part of the performance. It's all by design, it's all choreographed to bring out a certain production. So therefore, each member of the choir at some point in time in the performance is menatzeach, is victorious over the other fellows of the choir.
The word lamnatzeach comes from lamnatzeach.
To prevail, to nitzachon, victory, victorious.
Well, that's also a conductor.
So the conductor is not a singer. See, this is as I said, we start. We are more familiar with translating the word lamnatzeach to it as a reference to the conductor. The conductor doesn't sing. The conductor is in charge. He has his guitar.
You know, you're wrong. Because historically, before there was a conductor in a symphony, the first violin, the major violinist, he was
the conductor.
Eventually they made a conductor. But when you have a choral group, there's always someone telling when the other guys should.
One of the members of the choir himself, like Birchas Kehanim. There's a halach in Birchas Kehanim that one Kohen is in charge. There's one Kohen who's the conductor of all of the Kehanim. There's one conductor, no one is supposed to say Yivarechach until he begins to say Tzalach. He's supposed to appoint in the shul a Pinchas Khan, Chaim Berlin was memunit by the Shiva, I believe, to be the Kohen that's in charge.
Right.
Now, do I know that? Do other Kohanim know that? Not likely.
No.
Not likely, because they have not been there long enough to know. Right? So there's one Kohen who is in charge, and Al Pi Halacha, you're not supposed, the other Kohanim are not supposed to begin to say Yivarechach. Hashem, each word, until the main Kohen, the Kohen in charge, begins to raise his voice. That's how it's supposed to be. Do people do this in a regular shul? I don't believe so. But that's the way it's supposed to be. So you're saying right, Amir, is that there's one Kohen, the Kohen that's in charge is going to also say Yivarechacha. He's not just going to raise his hand. He's going to say Yivarechacha. So they're all going to say. So likewise, you say that it originally used to be in the olden days, in the original orchestras, is that that one of the musicians was the conductor. The one that conducted also played a musical instrument, and he had a double job. I play a musical instrument, but at the same time, I also conduct. You know, it's like a principal in yeshiva. So the principals, no, they don't teach anyone. No. They don't walk into a classroom and give a lesson. No, that's beneath them. Those watch out for those principles. A real principal will give a class. Okay, he may be extremely busy, but a real principal will always find time to give a real class in the school. You have a school of 1,000 students, and every single second the phone is ringing with another parent complaining, this problem, that problem, and you think the principal doesn't have a second to live dealing with all of the issues that are going on in this big popular school. Don't worry, he has time. A good principal will have time, and this time I give a class every day, 45 minutes. I find time to give a real class, real students, real grades, just like all of the other teachers. I'm in the classroom. Because I'm not in the classroom, I really don't know what's going on. You cannot relate, yeah.
Did we discuss when Tilum was put together? Was it put together by David or afterwards?
It's not so clear. I don't know.
If it says Lam Natseya, and if David wrote the words Lam Natseya, so he had to do it before he did it before the Beis Hamikdash, so that...
No, so that was an error, right? That's the question. This right. Mizmar, right? Like that,
he
this
prepared it for the Levim who will come in 30 years or 40 years or whatever, that this is what they should
say. So that's exactly what Rashi says. Rashi says this was not, these words were never said, according to Rashi at face value, were never said in response to a real event. The Mizmor we learned yesterday, Mizmor Gimel, is when David was running away from his son Avshalom. Everyone agrees that David actually said these words when David was on the run. Hashem mo rabu tzore rabim kama malai. He said those words. He was saying so. But now, did he say the first word? The first word Mizmor David. Bevarchai b'nei, but no, that we had a discussion. He certainly didn't say the word Bevarchai b'nei Avshalom b'nai. That certainly was added later on. But when David began to say Hashem Morabu Tzoroi, did David begin by saying Mizmar, I want to sing to you Hashem a song? That's the very, we had that whole discussion yesterday. Is that appropriate for a person when he has a very big tzara to say the same Mizmor, or no, you don't say, that's not the right time. In hindsight, you'll say Mizmor. But Bashar, that wasn't discussed yet. So over here, Rashi begins Mizmor Dal by telling us that this Mizmor was not, the words of this Mizmor were never said in any event. This was said, was composed by David at some point in time in his life as just a general catch-all analysis of life. Analysis of life, and he composed this specifically for the Levim that stood on the Duchon and sang Shiva. There was a Mishkan, the entire life of David. When David was alive, where was the Mishkan? The Mishkan was not, I think it was after Shiva. No, in Givon. There was a Mishkan. There was a Mishkan.
Was it
Kiryat Anavim? What? Kiryat Anavim? Kiryat Yorim? I'm not, maybe for a very short, brief moment, but the main location, there were seven places where the Mishkan stood. The Midbar, it's critical. The Midbar 40 years, Gilgal for 14 years, for 369 years in Shiloh, then for 57 years in total, Noiv and Givayim, then was the Bayis Rishayim, and the Bayis Sheni. These are the seven places where the seven Mikdashas. Okay, this always numbered.
It was by Pelishtim up
there. It was conquered. Noiv was Chorav. When Shiloh was Chorav, the Pelishtim, they captured the Aram. The Pelishtim destroyed Shiloh. Eli, in the lifetime of Eli, that's how Eli died. When Eli heard that the Aram was captured, he fell back and he died. He collapsed and he died. He broke his neck. And when he heard that Hophni and Pinchas were killed, Hophni and Pinchas were killed and the Aron was captured. Eli, their father, collapsed. As he collapsed, he hit his neck against something and he died. At that time, the Aron was captured, the Mishkan was cut off, and the Aron was captured by the Pelishtim. And then shortly thereafter, they were smitten with hemorrhoids. And digging the whole story, and they put the Aron on a wagon with the parois, Vatisharna haparois, and they returned the Aron to Klal Yisrael, and it was temporarily stored. I don't know where it was stored. Maybe you're right in Kiryas Yaron. Maybe it says it for a very short time, but it was very quickly sent to Noiv. It was in Noiv, and that's where it was in the lifetime of David. When David was fleeing from Shaul, he went to Noiv. He went to the city of Noiv for help, and the Kohanim in Noiv helped him. They gave him the spear of Goliath, and there was a famine, and the only food they could find was the lechem upon him, and it was pikuach nefesh, so they gave David to eat the lechem upon him. When Shaul found out that the Kohanim of Noiv were assisting David, his enemy, I mean he was delusional, his enemy David, so what did he do? He went and he killed them all. He killed the entire city of Noiv. And what happened at that time? The Mishkan was Chorav. And what happened when the Mishkan was Chorav? It moved, and somehow we do not know the details, it moved to Givon. It moved to Givon and it was there for the remainder of this Tekufa. I don't think we know exactly for how many years it was in Noiv and how many years it was in Givon. Chazal just say one number. It was in Noiv and Givon together for a period of 57 years. Okay, so it was 40 years in the desert, 14 years in Gilgal, it was 369 years in Shiloh, 57 years combined in Noiv and Givayim, then was the Bayis Rishayim, the Bayis Sheni, and we are eagerly awaiting the Bayis Shlishi, Hashemini. We're waiting for the eighth structure that will house the Shechina.
What did the Mishkan look like? Well, we know what the Mishkan looked like. Artsko published a very nice book. What did the Mishkan look like? What did it look like in Gilgal? So the assumption is it was exactly the same like in the desert. For 14 years it was erected, the same thing, nothing changed. 14. So therefore, it was really 54 years. That structure. Then what did it look like in Shiloh? So this is the big mystery. Today there's an enormous amount of effort being done in the world of archaeology to uncover the ruins of Shiloh. Not that they even really can know with certainty where it is, but they claim to know where it is. A lot. It's in the news a lot. Shiloh today became the big thing in Eretz Yisrael. Shiloh, because can you imagine there was a Mishkan there for 369 years, which means there was an enormous amount of activity that took place there. 369 years, the whole Klal Yisrael came there every single year to bring the Korban Pesach. It was the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, that was the center of attention. Chazal say that it was we have no idea what it looked like. It was a hybrid, something in between the Bayis Rishon and the Mishkan. The ceiling was made from Urios, but there were stone walls. We really don't know. Really, there is no record of what the structure of this location, of this Mishkan looked. It was a Pi'al Ruach HaKodesh, obviously. We know that it wasn't exactly like the Mishkan. The Mishkan had crushing. And in Shiloh, it says there were stone walls. But the ceiling were the Urios, the same Urios that they used in the Mishkan. Or they replaced them, I guess, whatever it was. We really don't know. When that was destroyed, then it was in Noivin Given. We have absolutely no knowledge of what it looked like.
The Aron was not in Given, because the Aron was taken by the Pelishtim.
No, the Aron was returned. The Aron.
It was returned to Kiryat Yearim.
And then from Kiryat Yearim, they went and they built. They went to Noiv. I don't think so. You're triggering some memories about this. Maybe there's an opinion that says such a thing like that. But I think the simple understanding is when they returned the Aron, everything was set up in Noiv and Gil Noiv. Maybe you're right. I don't know. That's when the Aron came back. The Aron, they transported the Aron. No, that was later. Later, they brought the Aron to Ir David. David said, "How could it be that the Aron of Hashem is in a tent, is in Rios, and I'm living in a palace? We have to do something about this." Okay, I don't know. We have to study the different opinions about this. You're right, but there are seven dwelling places for Hashem's Shechina. This is Pashut. We have over here. So here we have Ruach HaMatzev. Again, so one more time over here. What does Ruach HaMatzev? Rashi says this Mizma was not composed regarding anything specific. Rather, this Mizma was composed. This Mizma was composed. The general Mizma Zeh Yisad. Mizma Zeh Yisad David Sheyamru B'nei Levi HaMenatzchim B'nei Ginois Hashir Ala Duchon. David composed this. This is not in reference to any specific event. It was not said before. And now David comes along and we're just going to... This is what I said at this moment in my life, and therefore let's go package it up. We'll put a beginning and an end, and we'll publish it. And it'll be part of Tehillim. No, this was composed specifically for the Levim to sing on the Duchan, I guess in the time of David's life. It was either in Noiv or Givon, or maybe it was at the end of his life for the future, for the Beis HaMikdash. Sheyomru b'nei Levi. Now, then he teaches, there are three words here in rapid succession. As I told you before, this is unique. You don't have anywhere else, if I'm not mistaken, three words that refer to music together. It's a very unique expression. And what does the word lam natseach mean? So, first of all, it's in the singular, but over here, Rashi says the word hamatseach is hamenatschin b'neginois hashir al haduchan. What does that mean? L'shoin nitzuach. The word nitzuach lamatseach means to be victorious, victor. Neufel, it is a word that is used in reference to b'mischazkim ba'avoida, someone that strengthens themselves. You are machazin. Ish el re'ehu yoimar chazak. Where does it say that pasuk in regard to? It says that in regard to manufacturing idols. Idols, when they manufactured idols in the idol workshop in Malaysia, where they had sweatshops. And they made idols because there was a big demand for idolatry in the world. So they needed chizuk. When they made the idol, ish El Re'ehu, they would say one to the other, Chazak, do a good job. Make sure you make the idol with precision. And when you go to a wedding, everyone is dancing, Ish, El Re'ehu, Chazak. What are you singing? When you sing that song, you're singing the song of making idols. This is Avodah Zarah. It's really a shocking thing that that pasuk became the pasuk of Chizik for Klal Yisrael, when according to I think almost every single one of the parshanim and the Mikros Gedolos doesn't have any other interpretation that it refers to the fashioning of idols. It's the pasuk is making litzanis. You people are crazy. You go and you spend a fortune of money and you go to a craftsman. And you tell them all this way, I want the best wood for my idol, the best gold, I want the best form, and I want it to be done quickly, and you know, everything shall with perfection, and you stand over the worker to make sure he does a good job. You come there every single day to the shop to see how it's going, and when they work on the idol, Ish El Re'ehu Yoimar Chazak. That refers to, there's no question about it, refers to Avodah Zarah. Maybe you'll find some esoteric mafayrash that will say some very off the beaten track interpretation that it refers to each man should give chizuk to his fellow men in the emunah of Hashem. But that's certainly not the Pashup Shah and the Pasek. So how then did that become the code word for Klal Yisrael? Of giving the
chizuk.
Ulachiv yomar chazak. That's what they say.
No,
they say the whole. They say the whole
pasuk. The song is not.
No, the song says the whole pasuk. Ish lo yazaru v'yomer elochiv. I'm not with the songs. They say the whole pasuk. The mamish. The song has the whole pasuk. Very popular song by Wendy. Very popular. So it's utterly shocking. So it's not really so shocking because you do see even kadmonim that take psukim out of their context, where it fits into a narrative that you want. Why reinvent the wheel? If these words really do express the principle of chizuk, ish el re'eu yazoru v'yoymru el ochiv chazak, ochiv yoymar chazak, if those words really capture the theme of chizuk to one to another, so why not? Why not lift it out of a context of Avodah Zarah, and we'll use this in reference to Emuna, Chizuk, and this is done by the Kadmainim. This was not done in the 21st century. It was done long ago. We came across these things, and you find even the Kadmainim, they use these. I wish if you look hard enough, you'll find some very holy people who knew Tanakh literally on their fingertips. They actually did this. They took this pasuk out of its context and they used it in reference to good things. So the musicians, I don't know if that was their kavana, but whoever one came along, the musicians, they took this pasuk and they turned it into a mahapich. Mahapich Hashem Elokecha es haklal levracha. And they took this pasuk and it's a beautiful expression. If you want to interpret it in reference to Yir HaShemayim, why not? It's a very beautiful pasuk. But you should know where it's coming from. That's also worthy. It's worthy to know where it's coming from. And it's interesting, those who composed the Nusach, they really knew where it came from, would they have gone so far to select these words as this song? There are many things. Even somebody told me, I went to discuss this. The Yated Ne'eman. So I once heard a whole analysis, that famous paper, the Yated Ne'eman. It's also taken from a pasuk, but okay, I don't remember all the details, but the person made an argument that it should be Yosei Ne'emana, because the whole analysis, this the name of this newspaper was also extracted from Tanakh, but it was taken out of context. But in the process of doing so, they botched up the grammar. And by botching up the grammar, the word Ne'emana in the pasuk is not going on the peg. It's going on another part of the pasuk a long time ago. So there's someone who argued that like it looks embarrassing. All the what about Lakewood? Bet Medrash go. How do they spell it on their stationery? Gavoha. There's no such thing as Gavoha. It's Gavoha. Ah, like an ayin with a mapik hay at the end. Gavoha. That's the correct only way.
Gavoha, I mean.
What?
What does the word Geboha mean?
What?
What does the word Geboha mean?
Mean elevated.
Elevated.
It's
Go'a, not
Geboha. Elevated. Go, vo, make, you put it in an ayin, and at the end of the ayin, put a mapik hay.
It sounds like
Go,
a,
vo,
okay.
Ah. That is the only way to pronounce the word. And on the stationery, it says go, vo, ho. So how did that happen? How did that happen? And they're not changing it. So they're not changing anytime soon. Okay, they don't want to have to go refile with a tax exempt with the government to change the name.
Cash the check, it doesn't matter what the check.
What?
As long as they can cash the check.
Well, as long as they can cash the check. So.
What about Yad Vashem? Why is that?
That's a pasuk.
Well,
it means that. That's a very good pasuk. That's very appropriate. That for people that don't have children, people the pasuk in Shirat Uvelas Solisim, people who don't have children, Hashem will give them a Yad Vashem, a memorial. It's in Yeshaya, the end of Yeshaya, in the Aftara of the timeless Sibur.
You have Yad HaShalom.
The Yad HaShalom, a monument. Okay, so if there is a long list, those who know, I don't know this stuff, but there's a long list of very popular names of institutions and names of newspapers and books and songs which are 100% off. And somehow, due to our ignorance, we've allowed these things to creep into our daily lives, and that it is what it is. It is what it is. Even though anyone that knows, well, there's no such thing as govoha or govoha. It's govoah. There's no such thing. There's no way. There's no room to apologize. It's wrong. It's clearly wrong. This pasuk of Ish El Re'eu Yazaru Ulyachiv Yomar Chazak. There's no way out of it. It's referring to Avodah Zarah. There's no way out of it. No, you go to a wedding, people are seeing with such a hislavos. What is this? Idolatry? What are you saying these words? Okay?
That way for Avodah Zarah.
Okay? And they know year for many years they sang this very, very beautiful song, Racham David Yin. 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 So people, such a hislavos. It's a very beautiful song. If you see the video of German rock and roll, where it really comes from, and the real words, and you see how these Germans are dressed, men, women, Svenen, on the stage, it's like, wow. How did we cross over from this to this? Look, all the, I actually have a video. I have a beautiful video of the Russian military. It must be an orchestra in Russia not that long ago. And I don't know how long ago it was, in this magnificent auditorium, magnificent, and about, I think about 150 musicians, all Goyim, Russians, playing the march, the most popular march that they play, the Chaim Berlin Vasiva. Bom, ba-da-dum, ba-da-dum, bom, 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 bom. So that, they play that for an hour, and this band, they show this orchestra, it is a Goy Shemiga, and they play today in
so
Russia.
After 68,
I think, or
67, sang
to
Marseille.
What? How does it go to Marseille? Okay.
French.
So, obviously, it's acceptable. Okay, it's acceptable. There are things that are done. There's a long, long list of these types of things, and that's what it is. Hanach lohem liYisrael. In Einam Nevi'im, Bnei Nevi'im. There is, you just can't go dismiss, it's not nice just to dismiss like that something which you feel is incorrect. If it has taken hold and it is part of the fabric of Klal Yisrael, it is what it is. Okay, we have to be mekabel. Now again, going back, I don't want to get too bogged over here, so we have
a
moment, yeah?
Yeah. Just like if you have a ches at the end of a word, let's say you pronounce an ach, even though let's say there's a ches with a patach, you don't say cha,
right?
You say ach,
right?
The same way, if the hay is at the end of the word,
it's
and
ach.
You pronounce an ach,
right? The
so
first,
that's, so and we have a good example here,
Vam Natsayach, exactly.
Yeah, there's a patach
no
under the ches. So the same way, Gavoa, So even though there's a kometz under
it's not
the
ha.
It's a ah. Ha. I mean, the fact that they have a kometz under it doesn't mean that they pronounce it wrong.
It's spelled Govo Ha. Go, in the way it's transliterated, Govo Ha.
Oh, you mean in the English?
In English.
Oh, in the English.
In the English, Govo Ha. It's all over on the building, Govo Ha. Govo Ha.
So the English it's translation Govo, is wrong, but
it's an Ayin. It's just like no, it's not like the no Ha, it's not no Ha.
No
Ah, it's an Ayin sound. And at the end of the Ayin sound comes the Ches. No Ah. Govo ah,
right.
It's an ayin sound,
right,
followed by a mapik hey to bring out the hey. That's the correct way, and there's no other disagrees. Yes, you're not yoitzi. It's a different word.
Yeah.
You're not yoitzi. A lot of things about Kriya Shma. A lot of things has to know. So this needs. Now let's go back to the Rashi. Okay, so on the pasuk aleph l'shoni tzuach. What is it? Lamatzach noifel bin mischazkin ba'avoda. Anything which a person does to chizuk. Mischazim ba'avoda ki inyan shenemar layamidu es halavim iben esh mishon v'malo. It says in the pasuk in Ezra that they stationed the levim 20 years old and up linatseach al meleches beis Hashem. So you see the word this word is used in reference to strengthening oneself in any form of labor. Everyone needs chizuk. Whether you're a doctor, you're a lawyer, you're a rosh yeshiva, you work for a sanitation department. Not that there's anything.
To me, really.
Not that the two are related. Maybe they are.
So
everyone needs chizuk. So here, when you're working to construct the Beis Hamikdash, it says linatzeach al meleches beis Hashem. Rashi here says lamatzeach. It's referring to the musicians. They did both. And they need chizuk. So what I told you was a different interpretation. Rashi over here says it's very similar. It's a hard work. Being a musician, being a singer, you have to exert yourself. It does not come easy. Sweat. You gotta sweat when you do this job. Therefore, it's called lamatzeach. Even though here it says in Loshon Yochid, it seems over here that Rashi has learned that it's a collective noun. Lamatzeach refers to all of the levim, all of the singers, all of the musicians. We're taking all of them, we're blending them into one entity, the collective noun. There are many musicians, many levim, but we're referring to them as one, and what is the essence of these individuals? It's hard work. It's very taxing, it's very straining to sing, to concentrate, to play with precision. It's an effort. Next, pasuk is because of this. So this is what Rashi says. Now, let's just read a few pesukim, and then we'll come back and discuss more things. Let's just go through a little bit. Bikari aneni. Okay, so we learn for the moment now, just for the moment, we'll come back to other ideas a little bit later on. We're discussing now just a general composition by David describing the koyach of tzila. Okay, he's not discussing any particular event. We'll come and discuss other ideas later. Let's go through pesukim so we can get moved to cover some ground. Bikari, when I call out to you, Aneni Elokei Aneni, answer me. So these two words we're going to read together. And then he says, Elokei Tzidki, the God of my righteousness, Batsor, when I was in a state of pain, Hirchavtali, you've widened, you've opened up my mind. Tsar, what is Tsar? Tsar Limon, it means narrow. The straits. Bein hamitzarim. Kol oyvera hisiguha bein hamitzarim. It's narrow. When a person has a difficult situation, he feels that he's locked in. There's nowhere to go. You're caught between a rock and a hard place.
Min hametzar karosika.
From the mates of the straits. You're trapped in. You're on both sides. And what do you ask Hashem to widen? Merchav. Batsarli. Hashem answered me in the Mesifta Rabbeinu Chaim Rulin. Bamerchav. Okay? He's laughing so all the Chaim Rulin jokes. Boy, you want to hear the Litzanis, you come to the right place. Well, there's also a Chaim Rulin, also laughing him. And you're related to Mishpach with all the Chaim Rulin. I'm surrounded here with all these Chaim, I have to be very careful what I say.
Don't let him turn you in.
He's going to turn me.
So why would Chaim Berliner say this capital?
Batsar in my tsar, in my narrow situation, Hashem, you have widened, you've opened up my limitations. Choneini, Hashem says to Hashem, please show me favor. Show me chayin. Chayin means a matnas chinam. Give me something for free. I'm looking for a freebie. Ushma and listen to philosophy to my prayer. Notice here, David is making demands. There are different ways a person can pray to Hashem. Sometimes you pray to Hashem with please, you humble yourself, and sometimes you pray to Hashem with chutzpah. Chutzpah was big on this. I remember hearing from Rabbi one of his biggest Talmidim.
Stolper.
How do you know? So one of his biggest Talmidim, so he went to give him fantastic
Bayatzi.
He took the stick. If Hashem's not going to bring Mashiach with Edelkeit, we're going to have to bring it with Chutzpah. So that's a Lubavitcher approach, you should know. That sounds like, that's we want Mashiach now. Rav Huna was very close to Lubavitcher Rebbe. Okay, they learned the Chavrusa when they both were in America before each one became who they were. When the Riatz was alive, and even after the Riatz died, they still continued to learn the Chavrusa. And when he became Rebbe already, then he was Rabbi Dalfin in his biography has a very very accurate at least and records exactly that Kufa. In America, they were right near each other, right? Well, they weren't so far.
Right.
They weren't far from each other. There was a lot of interaction. There was a lot of respectful interaction, even into the very, very end, all the way to the very, very end. Mm-hmm. Even when he died on his deathbed, Rav Huna spoke about Rebbe. But it says over here this pasuk, there are many ways to pray to Hashem, and this pasuk expresses what we would call chutzpah, demands. You have tainus on Hashem. Bikari, when I call out to you, Hashem, aneini, answer me. Okay, this is an expression of chutzpah. I demand. I'm entitled. Entitlement. Okay, there are many different types of prayer. Sometimes you pray with edelkeit, and sometimes you pray with chutzpah. Obviously, you have to know when, where, how, you know, everything. No, you can't generalize. Elokei tzidki, the God of my righteous, but tsar, when I have pain, this is a fact, a statement of fact. Batsar of the past, here Haftali, in the past you have been gracious to me, you have widened my limitations. And now again the chutzpah. Choneini.
But he doesn't say Batsar li. It says
Batsar.
Here Haftali.
He says
the positive.
Yeah.
So there's no tsar. Li and tsar. Yes, tsara.
This.
Just the opposite. My tsar is the rabbi's tsar.
No.
Tsar for everybody. Please help us, God.
But he doesn't say it. He says
tsar. You're right.
But tsara.
The word li is after the word herchafta. You are when it was batsar in a state of tsar. Herchafta li. In the past, you have widened my limitations, and now again it concludes with a demand. This is a demand. Choneini, I make from you, Hashem, a demand. Favor me. Ushma. And listen to philosophy. Look at Rashi. Rashi pasuk beis batzor hirchafta li bayomim she'ovru oloi, the past. You've done. You've proven yourself, Hashem. You've proven yourself. And in the past, when I reflect back on the past, I know that you have been very kind and gracious to me. And therefore, ume'ata, thus going forward, I demand choneini, be kind to me. Be favorable to me, ushema, and listen to philosophy to my prayer. Next pasuk, pasuk gimel. Bnei ish ad me chivoydi lichlima. Now here's bnei ish, mankind. Mankind, we'll see Rashi, there's a little bit of a drush. Until when will you disgrace me? It's a very powerful pasuk. This idea means, chivoydi means my honor. And lichlima, my enemies are always trying to put me down, to dig up dirt. That's the biggest hana. B'neish, why is mankind continuously seeking adne? Until when will this nonsense go on? What's the nonsense? Kivaydi, my honor, my stature, lichlima should be put to shame. Tehe hovun rik. All of you people out there, you love nonsense. You have a love for lies. Okay, you have a love for emptiness. Tevakshu chazav. You're always seeking lies. Rik is emptiness. Tevakshu chazav. Sela. This mizmar, like the previous mizmar, it says with sela three times. It's broken up into three categories. Three times with sela. Why does mankind continue? There's three different things. You want my kvod to be lechlima. You love rik, and you seek chazav. Chazav means a lie. Okay, chazav is a lie. Sela. Let's see Rashi. Rashi says, B'nai Ish. Now, Rashi is going into Drush. Maybe we should look at the Mitzvahs. Even though I want to spend some time, I'll just look at the Mitzvahs very quickly. B'nai Ish. Atem b'nai Adam g'doylim ad mosai t'havchun k'vodi l'chlimo v'tzun olay b'mokam ha'kabur ha'roi elai t'chlimo v'sich o'ymer ha'loi mishpar ha'chashuvim l'chabed es n'roi l'chabed. Okay, just a little thing that we said. Let's see Rashi. Rashi is more of a Drush. Who are the Ish? It's a beautiful Drush. There are three people in that Rashi is focusing on that are called Ish. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. If you wouldn't see this Rashi and you just think off the top of your head, you would say, who's the Ish? Moshe. Veho Ish Moshe. Onav Me'oiz Mikola Adam Asher Pnehu Adama. That's the most popular Chazal regarding you in Ish. Veho Ish Moshe. Right? That's that. So over here, that's what it says. It says over here, B'nei Ish, B'nei Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Hakruyim, Ish. All three are called Ish. Avram, it says, Hashed es Eisha so Ish. Hashem said to Paro, return the Eisha as the prayer by Avimelech. Avimelech. Hashed es Eisha so Ish ki Noviu. So Avim is called an Ish. The Yitzchak Emer says, Mi ho Ish halozeh. Rivka said when she saw him, who is this Ish? The Yaakov Nemar, Ish Tom. So Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are called Ishim. Beautiful. Now, Admosai ne kivoidi l'chlima, Admosai atem bevazim oisi. Why? So he's speaking over here to Klal Yisrael. He's giving them Musa. David is giving you Klal Yisrael. You know where you come from? You come from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. How dare you then not follow in the good midos toivos of the Yesharim and abuse me and disgrace me? You should know better. You're not just Tom, Tom the Canary out there in the streets. You are Miyuchasim. How could it be a miyuchas? Does it suit the pass for an enuko of the Baal Shem Tov to go and do something like this? Doesn't pass for an enuko of the Gra, the Baal Shem Tov, to behave in such an ugly way? B'nei Ish, B'nei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, what are you doing? What are you going and saying that I'm a mamzer? I'm a legitimate person. I was nichshol with an Eishes Ish. What are you doing, you people? Admosai, until when kivoidi lichlima admosai atem mevazim oisi reisi. Now here's an incredible Rashi, and Rashi says a yisoid. Whenever you find in Tanakh someone is not called by their name, but they're called by their father's name, it is an attempt to be mevazim. Even before we give the Rashi says, what does it say in the Gemara all the time about Ben Amram? Many times when Klal Yisrael wanted to start up and attack Moshe Rabbeinu, they always begin their attack with the word Ben Amram. Right. What, I don't have a name? You don't call by my name? I have a name. Call me Moshe. What do you call me? Ben Amram. Ben, when you call someone by their father's name, it is a way of being mevazed.
Ben Yisha.
That's what Rashi says right now. That's exactly what he's saying over here. David now, and Mosai Atem Mevazim Oisi. Roisi es ben Yishai. Mi David umi ben Yishai. Bichros b'ni im ben Yishai. All different stories. Ki voicher atol ben Yishai. That was by Yohanan. Ben Yishai. Ein li shame. Every time, all throughout the entire Sefer Shvil, when my enemies are attacking me, you always been mevazim me by not even calling me by my name. Tevakshu chazav, you seek out lies. Tirdifu limtzai chazavim, you pursue lies. You troll the internet. To find something they say about, you know, these crazy people. They're looking, they're trolling the internet to find something to make up things. To find reasons why they're discriminated against. You're pursuing lies. Going hazifim shemal shinim alai the zid, these were people, this group of people, they slandered me. V'li hayu marim shalom. The pasuk, the hazifim shemal shinim alai v'li hayu, they were fakers, they were phonies. When they spoke to me, they smiled and they said, "I love you, we love you, you're so great." And behind my back they stabbed me. Behind my back, they told the whole world a bunch of lies. Okay, the chayotzei bohem, de lo toirin means slanderers. Shahayu bimei shol halay David mistater begivas hachakilim in the place. These are stories where people they slander David. They said lies, outrageous lies about David. David is complaining over here that it's not fair. Look what these people do.
Actually, Daltarim.
Yeah.
Good morning. Daltarim means informants.
Okay, good. Informants.
The same term is used.
Slander. V'lam al shinim.
Aviram. Doesn't in Aviram mean.
Or Daltarim. From Paro. Spies. Excellent. Okay, so
before
David over here is complaining over here that we have over here three categories. You're putting me to shame, you love emptiness, and you pursue lies. Next pasuk. Pasuk Dal. Udu'u. Kihifla Hashem.
Kihifla.
Sela means forever, or this is MS, or it is a note for the conductor. This is what we learned, I said before.
Yeah, right.
In this Mizmar, it says with Sela three times. This Mizmar is broken into three different parts. So this is the conclusion of part A. And the conclusion is noted with the word Sela. What does Sela mean that we discussed? Yes, it either means it's MS. What I'm saying is true. Or what it means that this is Le'olam, it is continuous. There is no relief. There's no relief to this attack on me. You'll never stop attacking me. Or it just simply means it's a musical. It is an instruction for the conductor or for the choir or for the musicians. This at this point you shall play an interlude. You shall do
so
something.
Shouldn't it be a trap, a different sort of trap for the
possibly world? Maybe cell itself is the trap. I don't know. Look, all the trouble over here is very bizarre. You can normally when you learn Tanakh, we're always able to break up the psukim based upon the Ta'ameh HaMikra. There's a merchot, tipchom unaches nachta. That's the end of the sentence. There is a obviously a sophos, but they're all they're different rules. In Tehillim, in Eoyth, and in Mishlei, there's a different set of Ta'ameh HaMikra, which makes it much more complicated to figure out, according to the Ta'ameh HaMikra, where is there supposed to be a pause. The Ta'ameh HaMikra itself is a commentary. Okay? There are multiple commentaries. There is the Targum is a commentary, the Ta'ameh HaMikra is a commentary, even the Nikud. If a word has a komatz, instead of what you would expect there to be a segel, that is also a commentary, that this is the end of an expression. And then you'll have Rashi, and you'll have other Rishonim. These are all forms of commentary. The problem, when you learn Tehillim, you're learning an entirely different system of Ta'ameh HaMikra, and you gotta know the system. And the system is not so clear what the system is, what the melody is, and therefore it's much more difficult to see the commentary of the Ta'ameh HaMikra unless you are milumat, you are familiar with the system. I certainly am not, so I cannot help you with that. Next, Hifla. Now we go to the next part. Here it says, Du'udu Yishonu Kifla Hashem Chosid. Lo, Hashem you shall know that Hashem has separated. The word Hifla over here is a hard word to translate. Rashi over here in the Targum also says Poresh, Hashem has separated the pious man Loi. He's Hashem's man. Kehifla means to separate. We normally translate Hifla. Now normally the word Pela is with an Aleph. Okay, Pela is with an Aleph. Here the word Hifla is with a Hey. It's an unusual word. If the Mitzudah Siyun, what does it say in the Siyun Hifrish? I will separate you by your mahu. And what does it say in the Malbum? The Malbum says in Havdala, the Hafrasha. Everyone says exactly the same thing. And over here the word Hifla is with a Hey, because sometimes with Hifla you associate with Pela, a wonder, something that is wondrous. But the word Pela is spelled with an Aleph at the end. Is the Aleph and the Hey interchangeable? Very possibly they are. Many times they are. Here there's a Hakpag, there's a Hey, and everyone here on the page, including the Targum, says it means to separate. Rashi, the Targum, the Mitzudos, and the Malvim all are in agreement, which means separation. Viflashem bein machane yisro machum denani akavav denani the esh yavad all over Tanakh. This word is used to refer to separation. Hashem has separated the pious man lo. He is Hashem's man. Hashem yishma, listen to me. Bikari elov, listen to me. Yishma is the future tense. Bikari elov, when I call out to him. So again, a demand. A demand. David HaMelech over here is saying this is not time for niceties. Right now the situation is desperate. Hashem, you must listen to me. Bikari, kari l'chari is the past tense. When I called out to him, somehow the tenses, they are interchanged. It's like a vav ha-mishapich. A vav ha-mishapich, the word in the past tense, hoya is the past tense, v'hoya, it will be. Right? The vav ha-mishapich, the vav can turn the word from the past to the future. Sometimes you have words that can turn the next word also from the past to the future. It's a little bit loose here. Yishma is certainly the future tense. Yishma, Bikori, the days
well,
here.
Why are you saying demand?
You're not saying please.
I mean, it's not a demand. Yeah,
there's no please.
Maybe it's just a request.
It doesn't say no. Take a look. Look at Avraham Avinu when he was mistalo for the Anshei Sidon. He had many, many expressions of prayer. Every single expression, Inna, V'anochi Ofa V'efer, I'm a nothing, no, please. I don't remember all the psukim in my heart, but there are numerous. Each request that Avraham made on behalf of the people of Sodom was introduced with this humbling, this humility. V'anochi Ofa V'efer, and I'm coming to ask you one more time. It's so delicate. He's walking on eggshells.
He was delicate.
David's not delicate. David says, Hashem, Yishma, listen to me. There's no power. Avraham is not coming to a power.
Listen to me. You know, hear me.
Okay, so it's again, the beginning of the Mizmah, certainly. Bikari, when I call out to you, Aneni.
Yeah, please answer me.
But Sar Chavtali, I know you can do it because in the past you were able to do it.
Choneini.
Okay, Yishma. We have over here Aneini, Choneini, and Yishma.
Grace me, you know.
But it's a demand. Be favorable to me. Be favorable. He's saying, he's not saying no. He's very tough. Now this, by the way, is the third time, the third word. The third active word of prayer is Aneini, Choneini, Yishma. Listen. So we're the third time we have over here David making a demand. Next, what does it say we in Rashi? Rashi Pasik Dal Hivdil. Pasik Hey. Now this is a famous Pasik. We say this Pasik often. Rigzu, a person should tremble. A person should tremble. The Al Techetou, and do not sin. Imru v'lvavchem, say this in your heart. Remember this. Remember these words that you should not sin in your heart. Al mishkav chem. When you're lying down on your bed, v'doimu, and be silent. Selah. Here is the second cell of this mitzvah. Now this is subject to much interpretation. What is Rashi saying? Rashi rigzu. A person should always tremble. Vayechrad Yitzchok Charado Gedoyla Ad Me'oid. What does it mean there? Vayechrad. The Targum there says he shook. Nizdaza. Yitzchok shook. He was so scared that he may have given the blessings to the womb child. Vayechrad Yitzchok Charado Gedoyla Ad Me'oid Charado. You're so frightened, your body shakes. And that's what it says. Rigzu Rashi Taich. Rigzu means to shake. Is this chirdu milifnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu v'al techetahu? Do not sin. Imru v'lvavchem. Say in your heart. Al mishkavchem on your bed. Chashivu al levavchem shehizhir Hakadosh Baruch Hu al kach. Now, what does Rashi here mean? Chashivu al levavchem. You shall set. The word chashivu in this Rashi means set upon your heart. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu has warned you regarding this matter not to sin.
Doesn't Rigzu or Rigez mean
anger.
Anger. So Rashi here, you're saying that's why Rashi here needs to make this point, and in this context, it doesn't mean anger. You make a good point. Rigzu would mean angry, right? Roiges. Beroiges rachim tisko. In your anger, Hashem Yishav Rachmanis upon us. You are right. However, we've learned many, many times, words are not defined, there's no hard definition for any word in Lashon HaKodesh. Lashon HaKodesh, words are just a collection of letters. It's an abstract principle, and a word is only defined based upon its context. This is what's unique about Lashon HaKodesh. In other languages, more or less, there's an Oxford unabridged dictionary for the word, and the word means something, and there's no room for deviation. In Lashon HaKodesh, a word does not have a defined definition. A word, a shoresh of a word, is an abstraction. It's a very abstract concept. And its precise meaning is only solidified against the backdrop of the words in which it is associated with in that particular sentence.
It's context.
So here we have the word rigzu. It comes from the word resh gimel zayin, which in an abstract form it means an abundance of emotion. That's all it really means. An abundance of emotion. Now, an abundance of emotion can mean
angry.
You're very angry. It may mean you're very happy. It may mean you're very worried. It can mean that all the word in its most abstract form means you have been emotionally challenged. In the context of this pasuk, where it says v'al techetohu, do not sin, the word roiges means you shall tremble, you shall be emotionally challenged, that in fear, the emotion will be defined as fear, not as anger, not as love, not as anything else, because of how it is associated.
Mayor Amilos, he says exactly what you just said, because he quotes a pasuk in Devarim, Barak Zuka Chalim Ponecha. Even in the Parsha itself,
so,
it uses it
in different contexts. Exactly. That's how this is very, very common. Words in Lashon HaKodesh are abstractions. Rigzuv chirdu chirdu l'milus ekel shparchu v'yal techeto imu v'valchem al v'mashkachem hashivu set al l'vavchem. This principle shehizir HaKadosh Baruch Hu al kachem. Why does it say when you're lying down? So this Rashi is not commenting on this. The mitzudah stuff, what does he say al v'mashkachem? He says the mamish out of the ballpark home run to explain why it says al v'mashkachem. It means because that's the time of the day when you really can think about life. That's what?
You're not
going to
fall asleep.
You're not going to fall asleep. Life, people go through their whole life. It's very sad. They have no time to think. Right? No time to think about life. No time to think. You go through every second. You're busy, 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 busy. When do you have the time to actually think about what's the purpose of all this? Actually, moments to think about it. You're busy the entire day. So it says al mishkafkam that many people, the common men, when they lie down, they don't fall asleep immediately. It takes time for your mind to settle. You don't fall asleep instantly. Not everyone has that ability. Even though I try to learn how to do this. You know, in the military, if you want to go for training, there are techniques. There are techniques to fall asleep in 20 seconds. It's fascinating. I only recently learned about this. It's very, everything that I've read online about these techniques, I'm sure you can go probably to special training, is breathing techniques. You have to force yourself to breathe in a certain way, and if you really do it well, you can literally fall asleep. You take very, very deep breaths, and you hold in your breath, and you release it, and you basically force your heart. Really, it's incredible chachma, and you have to learn how to do it. It takes a little practice, but if you learn how to do it, you spend your time learning, you can literally put yourself to sleep in a moment's notice.
You see what happens here, but after 20 minutes.
Oh, here, well, if you have someone like me that can bore you to death, I can't come to everyone's house to put you to sleep. I can't bore you to death. Right?
Remotely.
Hypnosis. Okay, there's a lot of other techniques. Also, there are sounds.
I went to an event where they had a hypnotist. I was blown away. Hypnotist.
He put, like a little kid became hypnotized.
He put people to sleep, and I know he was putting me to sleep. He put very harsh people to sleep, and they started saying things. Very, very frightening. Get into people's minds.
Teachers have that gift.
Very. And I noticed, I'm telling you, I have no doubt about this, because some people told this to me about me that I put them to sleep. I noticed, what is this koyach? It's his voice. His voice has a very unique frequency. Okay, you can measure this electronically. It's more. The mind, we have no hasaga how complicated the mind is. And how the mind works. There are frequencies, sound waves, that somehow tap into a part of the brain that shuts it down. It's incredible, incredible. And I noticed this hypnotist, right away I noticed there's something about this guy. What is it about this guy? It's his voice. There's no question about it. He has a certain frequency in his voice that somehow, der hateva, and he does it the right way, and he looks at you in the eye the right way, and he's able to put you out. It's incredible, incredible chachma. It's a gift. You can't go become a hypnotist unless you have. You can measure these things electronically, how these things work. But that's one technique. That's a different technique. But this technique of breathing is an incredible concept. But over here, David, but let's say you don't do that. You don't engage in the breathing technique. You don't engage in the voice frequency technique. You just lie down and you naturally fall asleep. It doesn't happen right away. Your mind has to shut down. And while it shuts down, what are you doing? You're thinking. What are you thinking about? Life. What's the purpose of life? And that's what, when you have those moments of time in your life when you're free to think about life, this is what you should think about. You should think about that there's a creator, there's a God, and he created this world, and the Al Techetohu, he doesn't want you to sin. It's not like Princess Diana told her son William, the legacy of Princess Diana is, you can be as naughty as you want, just don't get caught. That is the attitude of most of the world.
Yeah.
Most of the world is techetohu.
Yeah.
Sin. Enjoy life. Enjoy all the forbidden pleasures that you possibly can. Whatever you can do, do it. You only live once. Enjoy all the forbidden pleasures. Just don't get caught. Don't get caught. Maneuver your way, maneuver yourself not to get caught. That is really the attitude of probably 99% of the world. Just don't get caught. By Klal Yisrael, when you're lying down, no, that's not the goal. The goal is not to get, the goal is know that there's a creator and everything is recorded, Hashem is there. Do not sin. Do not sin. Rigzu, and you shall shake from the realization that there is a creator who's aware, and the goal is not to sin. The goal is not to get caught. Do rigzu vi al techetahu. Say this to yourself. Imru vilvavchem. When is the moment of time when you have your mind is free to reflect upon life? Al nishgavchem. Upon when you're lying down. Rav Chutner talking about Chaim Lind, he would say when he would see a boy on the bus. Or a boy going on the train. Every boy is, you go traveling. So some know the boys, the very good boys, they come with a sefer on the bus, and they're shuckling on the learning on the bus, right? They're learning with the sefer. He would say to them, "You have nothing to think about? Why do you have to go take a sefer with you wherever you go? Wherever you go. You go somewhere, or I have a sefer. Take out your phone, I'm learning chum migmava ma'amah. You have nothing to think about? You have nothing. It's not a good. He held. It wasn't a good thing for boys to be sitting, looking into the book. It's you're escaping reality. If you're on the bus, think about something. What? There's nothing. No major decision in your life that's pending that needs clarity. There's no reflection about who. What's the purpose of being here in this world? Take those moments in time. When you call dead time, don't be such a gross masnid to go and learn shas again. Use those moments to think, to use the noodle in your head. I remember I used to go, even now, I go, there's certain shiur I go to, I have no choice, I have to go to certain,
And I'm not such a smart guy. And I have a very hard time kind of listening to things, especially which don't really, you know, things I don't really have an affinity to. And everyone has to show up. Life is about showing up. And you can sit there at a share for half an hour, have no clue what's going on. And due to social pressure, I have to be there. And you know something I find that's very therapeutic? I'm not joking. Those times, I just lose. It'll eventually leave. Just leave it. Nothing is forever. Not even a cell phone. Just leave it. It's fine. Just don't worry about it. So I personally find that a lot, like somebody go to a shir, and like, you don't know what the world's going on. But due to social pressure, I have to go. This is life, you know, you go to a certain shir. Those times, I really find that when the shir is over, I really just, like naturally, the things that are bothering your life, you actually are forced to confront these issues and think about it and attempt to clarify what's going on. And then I was in yeshiva for a certain time, and then I left. And the shiva that I went to, I remember, was years ago. It's true today, almost everything that I did, that you was a certain tukufa now, and I was in a certain place, and I had to go to a certain shiva. I didn't like the shiva, I didn't listen to a word the Rebbe said. So every day I went there, so an hour every day, I had to pay my dues by going to the shiur. And then finally, this tekufa was over, and I was able not to, I didn't have to go to the shiur anymore, gradually. And then I had all that time, was just myself, you know, to do whatever I wanted to do. I found myself much more unsettled, because I didn't have that time to think. That hour that I was supposed to be listening to a shiur, and I was there, I wasn't at that level to understand what was going on. So it was just dead time for me. I was forced to be there. So at least naturally, I thought about life. And then when that was taken away, I thought it was a benefit for me. Baruch Hashem, I don't have to waste my time sitting over here for 45 minutes every day. Baruch Hashem, this waste of time is over. So now I can do whatever I want. So I do whatever I want, but I didn't have time to think anymore. I didn't have those 45 minutes just to sit and relax. There's a joke. What's a joke? Why are Jews so successful in business? They're a clown. Jews are very rich. No, they're disproportionately successful. You know their answer is? Three times a day for about 5 minutes, they have time to think. To make good business decisions. Shmon Esrei. What do you do during Shmon Esrei? Today, I have to decide, should I buy this stock, that stock? The guy doesn't have time to think if it's a good idea to invest. I, three times, Mincha, 5 minutes to think, should I buy the stock, should I not buy the stock? It's a bitter joke. There's truth to it in that, you know, we should be davening, okay? But the value of thinking is enormous. And that is what the pshat in this pasuk is, l'fi b'mitzudois David.
When he says something,
v'gamu selah,
means
l'yaskir l'atzmo yom
nisa.
So it's a medesh. Yes. It's a medesh. Yes. So that's the three things. You should first go to learn Torah. Moshchel l'beis medesh. Say kriya shema, v'fnan, l'mas yom nisa. It's built upon this part. We'll come back to that. Okay, so over here he's saying something very, very fascinating. And according to Mrs. David, Rigzu, a person should tremble when he reflects upon the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has demanded of him not to do aveiros. When is the time to put this into your mind? During your free moments of life, when you have dead time and you have clarity to think. Mrs. David, it's a home run over here, and he says, "B'yoschem al mishkachem, why on your bed? Shehi." Ace, I'm reading on page 33, Ace Asher Machashere Sa'adam Pinuya Min HaTirda. That's the time. That's the time when you have free time to think. And then you should reflect upon this, because the Shrub does not want you to do an Averos. And then, when we further Asher, Chishu B'Lachem Asher, Kazov Hu Rabbe Ein HaMokon,
V'shisku lo'oila midaber kazav. I'm be silent. He learns a little with the domu is going on. The chet over here is lies. Don't, it's a continuation of the previous section, don't live a life of a lie. Okay, that's the second part. And now we're going to come to Mar Yashem, to Simchas Torah. Okay, the next pasuk is Simcha. Oh, they only say this pasuk a billion times, right? How many times can you say this pasuk without losing your mind? Okay. All right, we'll take a short break, and then I want to talk about the concept of shikha in halacha. In this week's parasha, what happens? Yaakov Avinu Vayivoseh Yaakov Levado. What does Rashi say? Yaakov, he forgot the Pachim Ketanim. Forgot? How do you forget? How is it possible to forget? And what happens if you forget? What's the halacha when it comes to davening, when it comes to making and taking a shavua, when it comes to all different matters, some very interesting stuff, B'ezras Hashem, after we come back from the break.
Thank you. First of all, how you feel?